Here's a memo from Investors to America. Can you hurry up and vote already? We're waiting. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It is Election Day in America, and as voters go to the polls, global investors are pretty much watching and waiting. Julie Neiman is an analyst at Smith Moore & Company.
You have entirely different outcomes that Wall Street is predicting depending upon who gets in. If Hillary gets in, it's going to be business as usual, and the consensus is that the market may have a small rally here. If Trump gets in, the consensus is there's going to be a decline. That decline has been anywhere from 2 to 20%. But there's fear and uncertainty here. What kind of policies will be enacted after whoever gets in?
Toblerone, the triangle-shaped chocolate bar, is trending on social media, and that is because British consumers have discovered there's been a change in the shape and size of some of the bars, and all signs point to Brexit as the cause. From the Marketplace desk of Sugar Cravings, reporter Lewis Wallace is here. Well, Lewis, what is going on?
Hi, Lizzie. The value of the pound, as you mentioned, is down, and it has been ever since the big Brexit vote. And the global prices of some commodities right now, including cocoa and sugar, are up. So that all adds up to mean it's expensive to produce a delicious, melty Toblerone bar with little triangles you break off and get your fingers all chocolatey. And it's so good, and I'm obsessed. So all of that brings us to shrinkflation, which is a common practice. It means rather than raising the price of a product, companies will just shrink the product to avoid sticker shock. So Toblerone, instead of charging more in Britain, has put a bigger gap, like a really big gap, between the little chocolate triangles on some of the bars, and the bars have about 10% less chocolate. It turns out some Brits do mind the gap.
Nice pun. Shrinkflation sounds terrible.
Right. It works if consumers don't notice it, but if it's really blatant like this, there can be backlash. Check Twitter for that backlash. It's a good place to digest this news. Hashtag Schmoblerone. It's my current favorite.
Marketplace's Lewis Wallace. Now is the time of year when a lot of us start thinking about going home for the holidays, and thanks to a drop in airfares, might be cheaper. But that doesn't mean your travel is going to be any more comfortable. Marketplace's Mariel Segura explains why.
Airline tickets for the week of Thanksgiving are about 2.5% cheaper on average than they were a year ago. And for Christmas, prices have fallen a little more than 3%. That's according to ARC, a company that processes airline tickets. ARC's Managing Director of Enterprise Information, Chuck Thaxton, says this holiday miracle isn't so miraculous.
We've seen this trend of airfares trending downward slightly for a couple of years now.
One of the biggest reasons? Lower oil prices.
When fuel prices drop, airlines are making more money with each seat that they fly.
Severin Borenstein is a professor at UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business. He says in the past year or so, airlines have gradually begun adding seats. And more seats means
more downward pressure on airfares.
Competition from smaller carriers could also be driving prices down. The cost of a ticket generally goes up the closer we get to the holidays. So if you're planning a trip, well, these prices won't last forever. In New York, I'm Mariel Segura for Marketplace.
Have you ever been at the grocery store, turned on the radio, or been at an election rally, and suddenly a song comes on that you had not heard in years? Maybe you start to sing along, and you almost feel like you have traveled back in time to the moment when that song was popular, you remember what your life was like then. Well, one nonprofit in Texas is using that same concept to help patients with dementia. Lucia Benavides reports.
All right, Miss Mecki, you ready for some Julio?
72-year-old Marilyn Mecki is a post-stroke patient with dementia at a rehabilitation center in San Antonio, Texas. She's got her iPod and a playlist that includes Elvis, Patsy Cline, and the Beatles. Today she's listening to Julio Iglesias.
That's her favorite. She kind of grew up in the valley, and her sister said that she really loved listening to him. So
that's Christy Duarte, marketing director at the facility. She helps coordinate a program that brings music to patients with dementia with the help of a nonprofit called Music Project. Mecki normally just stares at the ground, but once the music comes on, she starts looking around the room.
There we go. There you are.
The program incorporates music into patients' everyday lives. Candace Slusher, co-founder of the project, says music can give them a better quality of life. It can also be a substitute for drugs.
It's really all about reducing the need for, as needed, psychotropic medications.
Those medications can make patients groggy and less coordinated. Since the program began, there's been a 60% drop in patient falls. The Texas Department of Aging and Disability Services has a goal of bringing this type of music program to more than 1,200 facilities statewide.
We know that when people listen to music, there are actually physical responses that come about.
Bob Duke heads the Division of Music and Human Learning at the University of Texas in Austin and has researched the relationship between music, memory, and motor skills. He says music elicits a kind of memory that can stimulate the body in many ways.
Because it does trigger some memories that are retrievable even after suffering from dementia. I think everyone in the interaction feels positive about that.
Music Project runs on fundraisers and donated iPods. Each patient's playlist is created by staff with suggestions from the patient's family. Last time Mekki's sister came to visit, the two sat down with their iPod and headphone splitter and spent an hour together just listening. In Austin, I'm Lucia Benavides for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.